Hello everyone, it's Gabriel here. It is Saturday, July 5th, 2025, and I apologize for the lack of updates. Truth of the matter is, the last month has been kind of rough. Last week or so, 2 weeks really, I've been kind of sick, and that's been kind of difficult to deal with, honestly. I am going for a walk right now with my small kettlebell in hand. Goal is to switch hands halfway through this walk. So it might be a bit of a short update, but I honestly do feel bad for not getting a video out and other related updates. So I'm gonna try to be more consistent on that front. Part of it is that despite everything, things have been going well. This morning I weighed in at 380 pounds, which means I'm, well, 20 pounds down from my latest milestone of 400 pounds. I can honestly say going to below 400 from above 500 would recommend. It's pretty great. I feel more mobile, I feel more capable, and I think a non-trivial part of that has to do with the strength training and exercise I've been doing, and I think I'm really finally at the point where if I really pause to think about it, I am able to recognize the progress, the changes, and it's going along nicely. Of course, it is still challenging. I wrote in my last written update about how there's some difficult feelings about the midpoint and how I have some body image issues about the fact that it's like it's not static. I'm changing, and that's a good thing, but at the same time, it means I kind of can't get too used to where I'm at. For instance, when I moved, I packed away all the clothes that kind of sort of fit me at the time, and that was years ago, that was pre-COVID, and I went back into those boxes, picked out a bunch of stuff, and basically all of it fits. I am definitely back to my pre-COVID weight, and it's a good place to be, at least comparatively. But one of the things that made being a little sick kind of rough was that it was made pretty clear to me how much it sucks to be sick while obese. You know, here I am trying to do all these things in general despite my size and lack of mobility, and that's hard. And then it's like, oh, every little ache and pain is so much worse when you're carrying all this extra weight. And I can say, the nice thing is the next milestone that I'm very close to is being 200 pounds down. Once I am in the 470s, that will be 200 pounds total loss since the start of this journey, which is exciting for a variety of reasons. But I'm honestly at the point where I'm starting to feel the benefits of the weight loss. And I'll say the biggest benefit right now, having lost 200 pounds, is that like walking is no longer the immense challenge it was before. I mean, it's still something I would struggle to do all day. I'm certainly not, you know, fully able-bodied one way or another. But I'm making good progress and I'm pretty happy about it. In fact, when I go to the gym now, generally people who don't see me, let's just say every day or every week I go, they're really saying a lot of nice compliments. They really see the differences because, you know, when I first walked in there, I was over 500 pounds and now I'm below 400, and people can see the big difference, the big change. I guess I don't stick out as much anymore, and that's really noticeable to people. There's a really nice guy at the gym who's pretty friendly, and he nicknamed me Slim. So he was like, "Hey Slim, how's it going?" And I don't know, I'm certainly not slim yet, but I appreciate the energy behind that sentiment. And yeah, things are going honestly phenomenally, all things considered. I mean, really what's been holding me back lately is stress. And a lot of it has really nothing to do with the journey itself, but you know, the fact that I am a human being living a life in 2025, and there's life stuff that causes challenges. And so I'm just really trying to do the best I can because my other half is, well, really investing in me. So I gotta do her efforts justice, and she's very happy with how everything's going. And so I guess I can be a little easier on myself, all things considered. One of the things that's allowing me to be easier on myself throughout this journey. Though maybe most of you who are intimately familiar with my updates are going to be like, Gabriel, you're not easy at all with yourself. What are you talking about? I guess easier than I otherwise would be is that it's finally beginning to sink in now after losing 200 pounds that not a lot of this process is under my control. Sure, I have control over the direction the way things are going. I know I can make conscious choices about whether I'm losing weight or whether I'm gaining weight or whether I'm not sure I can really decide to stay at the same weight right now. I'm kind of an on or off mindset, and that's the thing, is I'm realizing the precision isn't quite there, and there's a lot of diminishing returns. You know, for instance, if I wanted to lose 10 pounds in a week, well, yes, it's conceivably possible. I know being able to maintain that is outside of my capacity for the time being, and likely from now onwards. I think the sacrifices required to lose 10 pounds in a week would probably exceed the health benefits if done for a significant period. But I don't know. Maybe we'll revisit that once I'm close to the year end and really eyeing my yearly target. And that's kind of the nice thing about where I'm at. I'm very close to halfway through the yearly target, and we're basically halfway through the year. And so I'm glad to be on track. I mean, it is still quite a challenge to maintain the same rate for the rest of the year, especially with some of the unknowns that are up ahead. I've talked a little bit in these updates about some of my life challenges that make it hard to really do this, but I'm as well set up as I can be. So all things considered, I'm grateful and I'm excited for everything that's up ahead. And that's the thing, is it's like now that I'm 380, I am only 30 pounds away, which based off my latest averages, that's really just 2 months away from 350, which for me, 350 is a big magical number because I can go get a DEXA scan. A DEXA scan is this very fancy, I don't know what, like how it actually works. I assume it's like an X-ray or MRI machine. I know those two things are not the same thing at all, but bear with me. And it'll allow me to see what's underneath all the fat. And one of the things that's been preoccupying my mind quite a bit lately has been realizing that I am not, as a person, all this weight that I'm carrying. And I guess that's kind of weird, but like, this is another thing that took me quite a long time to kind of make peace with or come to terms with, because there's kind of these like polar opposites. You know, you've got the people who have issues with fat people and they're like, oh, well, you're just, you know, horrible or whatever. I won't enunciate those points terribly clearly, but and then you've got the other side, which is, oh, you're perfect as you are. And I've never jived with that perfectly. Especially because as I became as big as I did, the real practical problems and really the tragedy and suffering that is being as big as I was, and even still I am in many ways, is a severe thing for a person to go through. Now, I have a lot of spicy takes on, you know, what are the systemic factors I think are, you know, not helping people and why things are as bad as they are on a population level, but like, sticking to the individual level for a moment, I'll say, I think the problem with both sides of that paradigm, so to speak, is that they're both kind of operating under the mindset that the person is, well, the human being and the fat around them. And, you know, it's been so weird swimming lately because something strange happens when you, like, have a lot of fat and then you lose a bit of it, is that it gets really loose. Like, it does kind of, like, separate from you a little bit. Like, when I'm in the pool, I can, like, flow it around because it floats a bit, but it's, like, it makes it really clear to you that this is a separate thing from you. This is just extra stuff you're carrying. And I got an interesting comment on my last post about being sick, and the commenter pointed out that, you know, maybe some of the reasons a lot of people have some of the problems they do is that they're carrying and holding on to things that lead to the, you know, the kind of problems that people have. And for me, a big part of this is that I do struggle with letting go. I struggle with letting go of the past. I struggle with letting go of expectations. That's a big one. I struggle with letting go of regrets and frustrations, all of that. And so I don't think it's compassionate to tell someone that all the fat they're encased in that, you know, entombs them is who they are, because that's not who the person fundamentally is, and it's certainly not who they could be. But I don't think the weight diminishes a person. I don't think carrying excess body fat makes them less of a person. I don't think it makes them, you know, an evil person or a terrible person. I see it, you know, very differently than I guess both sides of that conversation would look at it. And part of the problem here, for me personally anyways, is that, like, there is an opportunity cost to getting this big. Like, yeah, things would have been a lot easier for me if I had never gained the weight. That's for darn sure. And as far as things I struggle to let go of, that regret, that, you know, bargaining over, oh, if I could only have those years back, that's something I struggle to let go of. And a big part of this is just because I'm back to my pre-COVID weight and, you know, overall body shape, I don't get the years back. That's for darn sure. And I'm sure I certainly wouldn't be alone for wanting those particular years back. I'm sure there's a lot of people with misgivings about those years, justifiably for reasons all across the spectrum. That's really how I see it, is I think that it's hard because people recognize that the answer is compassion. You can't help people by dunking on them or putting them down. But at the same time, change isn't inherently fun, and it is a very solitary and self-guided process. And I think that's one of the things that makes it so hard for people who are around people who are significantly heavy, is that they can't unilaterally change their loved one, arguably for their benefit, and that's just not how things work, honestly. And, yeah, we can all wish it was different, but, on a certain pragmatic level, we have to play the cards we're dealt. And so, I guess to cap all of that off, I have been having, I guess, a lot of thoughts about body image in general, with some of the details of the midpoint I'm at now, because for me, it is quite strange. Like, I spent so much of my adult life being this size, and there is a, let's just say, change adverse part of me that almost wants to stop here. Like, it's like, oh, well, I've undone the worst of it. I can go back to living, you know, certain ways again. And it's like, I am a fundamentally changed person, at least as far as what kind of things I value and I prioritize now. And so I can't allow myself to do that. While I am sure I am perfectly capable of being, you know, a happy, kind person at this size, there are a variety of reasons why I feel like I need to push further than just this. Because, don't get me wrong, I made a huge amount of personal change for my overall lifestyle. I've got sleeping under control, I've got eating under control, got my weight under control as an extension of that. I'm able to concentrate on things. I'm able to focus better. I mean, I'm able to work on my RSS reader that many of you have known. I've complained, you know, month after month of, oh, I've been meaning to get back to that. I've been meaning to get back to it. And I mean, I won't bore people with the technical details, but I was honestly intimidated with the work involved. And so it took me quite a bit to finally summon up the will during my involuntary break from the sickness to devote time to it. And it was honestly quite rewarding. I'm trying, as a way of building on my personal growth, I'm trying to find ways to show myself that I can put time into things and that it does amount to meaningful progress. Because as I've said before, one of the things that's held me back in a lot of tech projects is I would always time cap everything. Oh, if the tech project couldn't be done in an afternoon, was it really worth doing? And it's not really a worth doing question, it's more that I would lose interest quite quickly. And so, that's basically one of my new goals that I'm tackling. And, yeah, things are going quite well on that front. I'm feeling good. I need to get back into drawing again as a relaxation activity. I've had a couple of great interviews lately as far as chats for the Libra Solutions Network, my digital freedom passion project. I had a great conversation with Michael Ginsberg about Odyssey. I had an interesting chat with the Simplified Privacy people about their setup. I mean, that interview was illuminating for sure. And I just recorded a very cool chat, which by the time this is out, that will be out, with Anti Moonboy, a Monero enthusiast. And I will say, I kind of looked back because I had talked to Michael Ginsberg about Odyssey and other stuff last year. So I basically got to compare what I looked like on camera a year ago to where I am now. And it's quite phenomenal to me, just how radical the face gains absolutely are. And I will say that's what I find a little intimidating, is it's like the face that I have now is the face I'm used to wearing most of my life. I honestly cannot comprehend what a leaner version of this will look like. And yeah, so I mean, on some levels it's exciting, but on the other hand, it's unknown. I don't know what I'm contending with, and I'm sure it'll be exciting to see as it develops. And I can't say I've learned patience. I'm still a very impatient person. But I feel like I have raised my tolerance for patience. I feel like some things I am more comfortable taking time with than, let's just say, I was at the start. And I am accepting that not just this thing, but many things are a process and it takes time. For instance, I knew that getting well after being sick was not something I could do in a day. It doesn't matter, you know, all the fruits and berries I ate or how much I sweat, you know, whatever radical intervention I could come up with. I had to kind of make peace with the fact that getting better takes time. And so, yeah, I had to, like, okay, I'm going to ease into getting active again. I'm going to walk on this day. I'm going to, like, do a longer walk the next day. And then I did one of these kettlebell carry walks on the Wednesday. I had a personal training session yesterday where I didn't do all the extracurriculars I normally do on top of it. And I bussed back and forth, you know, I didn't walk all the way there or back. I'm kind of realizing that it's like, hey, if I can just ramp up over the course of this month, I'll be in a good place for July. I'll be in a good place for August. And that's kind of what I'm aiming for. You know, July being the ramp up, the activity month, and August being the go full blast. I'm looking forward to showing off, for those of you who check out these updates, my summer goal outfit that thankfully I do actually fit in this summer. It's a Hawaiian shirt with some matching swim shorts combo. I think I have a pretty stylish hat to pair with it. And so I'm very happy to wear that. It's funny though, because like, I guess my legs change shape quite a bit, because I'm finding as soon as I fit into 4XL shorts, now it's like, oh shoot, they're already loose and I need to tie them. And so a serious tip for anyone doing their own radical weight loss journey, I would say never buy clothes that don't have a string you can tie to, you know, wear them a bit longer than, you know, people otherwise should. But unfortunately, shorts and pants are a tough thing when you're heavy, I find, because if it's too loose, chafing becomes a problem. And so, to the degree you can, I would recommend rapidly switching bottoms throughout your weight loss journey. I mean, shirts, at least as a guy, I don't think is that important. You know, I'm going to have to be pretty comfortable wearing loose shirts this entire time, just because it doesn't make sense to buy a new shirt for every, you know, every size. No, it's going good. It's very gratifying. I'm glad people are checking out my journey. I'm glad people are interested in following what I'm up to. I've gotten so much encouragement and support from people in this process, so I really do feel obligated to share what I can. Although I can certainly admit it's not easy. There is a guy out there who I am absolutely astounded by his courage and bravery. His name is Reed, or Jay, well, he goes by a couple of different things, because different platforms, whatever. So he's a younger guy, a few years younger than me, he's 25, and he's been obese longer than I have, in an absolute sense, but he said he struggled with weight since he was 4 years old. I guess I'm lucky in the sense that it only really became a problem in grade 10, or at least that's when people started bringing it to my attention. And so, I certainly don't envy Reed's situation, but a relative showed me a video of his, of him losing 50 pounds. His highest, which is pretty close to mine, 570 pounds, give or take, and he had lost 50 pounds to the 520s. And I was really, like, kind of taken aback to see that, because it was kind of a time capsule for myself, fundamentally, where I'm like, I guess this is what me taking a look at the start of my journey kind of looks like. And I watched, he put out a video on YouTube, it was a live stream, of him telling his entire story. I listened through it. Some things were familiar, some things were different, I mean, we're different people. But it was really quite a lot to listen to him tell his story because, again, it does hit quite a few familiar beats. He talks about trying to solve this problem and not quite being able to, and, you know, all those false starts really, really weigh on you. And so I really do hope that he finds a lot of support and encouragement. I follow him on X now. He also has TikTok and a bunch of other platforms. I don't use TikTok, so I'm not there. Yeah, I hope people will check out his journey as well, because unlike me, where I just started out writing about my situation with a few handpicked photos here and there, eventually moving to audio, eventually including videos, Reed is going crazy, you know, he's on TikTok, so he's doing short form videos of, you know, his situation in a pretty clear state from his highest. And so again, I really admire his bravery for showing himself at, well, the start of his journey. It's not an easy thing to do. And yeah, I definitely hope people follow Reed's stuff and send any encouragement they can. Well, if he has an email, I would send him an email myself. My way of reaching out is I do want to look into and just letting him know. It's like, hey, I'm making a similar journey. If you have any questions or need anyone to talk to, I'm definitely happy to answer any questions I can. I know it's no simple thing, not by a long shot. And so, yeah, I'm really happy for Reed. I really have nothing but hope and optimism for his journey. I pray that it is not very arduous, though I know it is arduous, so I hope it goes as well as it can. And I guess it kind of gave me a lot to think about in the sense that it's like there are a lot of people doing this now. And some of it's like great and encouraging, you know, I'm really happy about Reed's journey. I'm really glad he's being even more open about it than I am. Like, that's, I'm really impressed across the board. But I'm also seeing, like, a darker, weirder side to this, at the risk of sounding weird, because, of all people, Dr. Robert Malone, I noticed on his Substack, he did a post about his weight loss journey. Now, to be frank, I never really paid too much attention to Malone's appearance. I know people joke that he looks like the most interesting guy from those commercials. But he never struck me as a person who particularly struggled with weight. Now, the fact of the matter is, having 40 pounds that you don't want, is still a significant amount, even though, like, to me, from my vantage point, that's not obvious at all. So, hey, you know, that's whatever. But Malone in particular, if I dare criticize the king of the medical freedom movement, the fact of the matter is like he kind of likes to pronounce himself as an expert on everything. And I get kind of annoyed with some of the basic weight loss advice given by people in general, especially to people who are, let's just say, in extreme circumstances. Because I believe that, well, honestly, every 100 pounds is such a radically different, you know, can of fish. Losing a couple of pounds for purely aesthetic reasons, while involving many of the similar same dynamics, as far as I'm concerned, is not the same problem as somebody who is so large they are experiencing challenges moving. And to build on this idea, there's something of a strange trend going on right now, is Ezra Levant, the head of Canada's Rebel News broadcaster, was basically creating this weight loss challenge where he's, I guess, using Ozempic and he's gonna lose a ton of weight, but he challenged darn it, I forget her name. There is a female Canadian journalist at the CBC, very well known. It's embarrassing that I don't remember the name right now. But I don't watch the CBC that much or listen to them, so that's why the name escapes me. But Ezra Levant did this weird thing where it's like, I'm losing weight and I'm calling her out. She needs to, like, match me or whatever. One of my biggest concerns at this stage when it comes to these things, I'm worried about the politicization of, you know, health and fitness, which is not a new thing. This has been a consistently ongoing phenomenon. But I think the particular dimension to it now is that, like, even some of the people I respect in the health and fitness space will say, oh, you know, these weight loss drugs have fixed the obesity issue and that nothing had worked prior. I have some reservations about that attitude because I think it's missing some very important nuance about, well, the difference between public health and individual health. Public health is a very top-down, technocratic type dynamic, and individual health, I would go as far as to say, is essentially opposed to that mindset in many circumstances. Not all, but a significant amount to cause some friction. And so what this entire rant is fundamentally about is that I want the people who are sharing, you know, the positive side of their story to encourage others or to create compassion for people in these circumstances. Those are the people I'm interested in uplifting their stories. You know, people like Reed, people like, I don't know his last name, but Mike from Mike Needs a Plan. Even Steve Shaw, you know, he does the Massive Iron podcast and he talks about his challenges with obesity and how, you know, he got better and how all that affected him and his journey. And for me, there is a fundamental difference between the idea of really just like slamming people. It's like, oh, you need to do this, quote unquote, because it's good for you or because it's such a big societal issue. And all I'd really say to that is that I believe the obesity crisis, I mean, if I should even grant that framing, which is a whole other discussion, I believe it's downstream of other, deeper, more serious issues. I think people fundamentally underestimate significantly how many health problems are downstream of these kinds of societal challenges. And ultimately, the more I think about it, I think that is the mechanism that politicizes health, is because it's so much easier to point at an individual and their choices than to necessarily want to confront some of these broader, uglier issues. And it's not easy. It's legitimately a challenge. And I think we just need to be careful who we're assigning blame to. And part of this is when I listen to Reed talk about his story, I think it's good to take a certain amount of responsibility for the situation you're in. But at the same time, he's pretty young. I know 25 is not a child anymore, but he was obese from when he was a child. And it's one thing to say that, you know, he can certainly grow up and make different decisions and that would have an impact on his health. I'm certainly not saying he has no agency in this situation. However, when he tells his story in the longer live stream, he says things that to me, with where I am in this process, looks different than it would otherwise. And it's kind of hard to explain this, and I'm trying to tread delicately here because I'm not criticizing Reed at all. I think he is an amazing person. I am, again, inspired and in awe of his courage to share as much as he has so early in the process. But truth be told, some of the way he talks, and I'll say takes ownership of certain problems, because you do need to take responsibility of the situation to properly recognize your agency and empower yourself to tackle it. But I don't think it's reasonable for him to talk as if he is the only cause of this problem. Because when I listen to his story and where I see the parallels, to my own experiences, I recognize there are many things that likely, let's be honest, set him up to fail. Given the way he describes his childhood, I am certainly not shocked that he has weight problems moving into the future. And so I think it's tough for me because while I wholeheartedly believe that the path to to change does involve taking responsibility for your agency in the problems you're trying to tackle. I don't like this masochistic vilifying of yourself that can kind of come out in that process. And I'm not saying he's done that, but there were certain things that were said that reminded me of it. And so to generalize a bit, because I'm not just talking about him here, when people have problems, it's important to admit you have a problem. And that's good. It's important. Like, you don't want to be in denial and then expect it to magically fix itself. But I think taking control of the agency of your problems is not the same thing as taking all the blame. And I think it's important for many people in these very difficult situations not to be the person telling themselves they are 100% to blame. Are they responsible? Sure. You know, am I responsible for my weight? 100%. I am not saying this is anybody else's problem to solve for me. I understand this. However, I think it's very tough to talk about because I do see this over and over in certain discussions where people who are trying to take control over their life or a situation, they kind of do what now looks to me like a very masochistic performance of self-flogging fundamentally. And I don't like it because I think it sends the wrong message. I think it sends the message to everyone, you know, around the person, oh, there are no problems that need to be solved. There are no, you know, we don't have any duties or obligations to the people around us to address any of these issues. It's just that this guy messed up. That is fundamentally my issue with the I am to blame song and dance. Now, again, I think it is absolutely crucial you recognize the patterns in your own mind that lead to various difficult circumstances. For instance, I wrote a piece about all the reasons I was struggling with overeating. I came up with everything I could think of, and I think regardless of what somebody's problem is, that's a very helpful way to tackle your issue. You think of what are all the triggers, you try to figure out how to avoid or manage those triggers for the behavior, you know, the compulsions, whatever it is that's fundamentally driving it, and you tackle those. I think that's a useful and valid process. What I don't like and what I'm haranguing on about here is this public spectacle of, oh, I am so uniquely terrible. I single-handedly caused this to myself. And I think why that is such a big thing and why you can, like, if you know what I'm talking about, you will see it everywhere. I think one of the reasons you see this is because it's something the public wants. Because one, we get to praise the person for taking the initiative. And hey, that is a beautiful, wonderful thing. But it looks very distorted to me when I think about the fact that it also provides something for the audience. It provides absolution to the audience in a way that I think is very counterproductive. Because we're all just a single person. No one of us has the power to unilaterally solve these structural issues. Certainly not in a short period of time. And so I am very concerned that the rightful desire for people who are struggling with various circumstances to reclaim their own agency over their troubles are kind of pressured, pushed, encouraged. I don't know how it manifests exactly, but there is a real driver that makes these people want to uniquely demonize themselves as if they are the only thing that contributed to their circumstance. Now, maybe I'm totally off base about all this. Maybe this is a fundamental transformative part of your psyche in that journey, and that's where you need to start, and that's not where everybody ends. Maybe I'm just haranguing on about something that does not matter or is not a big deal. But I can say to you right now, with where I am, with what I've learned throughout this journey and what I've seen and what I've come to understand, is I am a little more suspicious of that pattern than I would have been at the start of this. Because part of the thing, for me anyways, is that the first problem I wanted to solve when I wanted to change my situation was I realized I was my own worst enemy. I realized my own negative self-talk itself was basically the first step in all of my bad decisions. And so I had to really look into the fact of how do you change your inner monologue, if it is possible to change. I was very skeptical that that was something I could improve. And the fact of the matter is in doing that, I realized how much mental malware there is out there and where it comes from. And so I guess that's a bit of a teaser for an upcoming post. I think I will actually write this idea out because I was participating in some discussions about internal monologues publicly, and I was challenged that I probably should write a post about that in these personal health updates. And I think, I don't know, it's something I would be afraid to talk about because I'm very much outside my wheelhouse. I'm not, you know, a psychological expert. I'm, you know, not, I'm talking about things that are bigger than just my own situation. But I will definitely try to do the concept justice. And I guess for those of you who are following this along, I would be very curious what your thoughts or response to my comments on what I would say the masochistic I am to blame performance that many people going public with their problems have, and whether that does absolve the public in a way that is, I will say, counterproductive. Maybe I haven't expressed this idea very well at all. Maybe half of you are like, what is he talking about? And so that might be something I'll try to flesh out better when I talk in an upcoming post about the inner monologue and negative self-talk. Because I think there's a lot going on there that is really worth thinking about, ironically. And so I'm very happy that at least up until this point, I've been walking for 45 minutes and I'm feeling pretty good, honestly. I still have the sniffles. I hope it's not too noticeable in this recording. But yeah, I've been carrying a 15-pound dumbbell pretty consistently in one hand throughout this, you know, switching hands. And when I get home, I'll have done more than I expected to, which is kind of my new standard for victory. You know, it's like I have ambitious expectations of what I want to do to begin with. And if I'm exceeding those, I really have no grounds to complain or be hard on myself or regret it, etc., etc. It's funny because a few updates ago, I said that weight loss is not a fun process. And I still agree with that. I still think the challenges related to weight loss are not terribly fun, which is why I think having fitness goals is an absolutely essential part of the weight loss process. I've noticed that fitness, getting better at fitness, is so much more fun than weight loss. And as far as hobbies you can pick up when you're trying to tackle this problem, I think it's a great one to do because, well, I mean, there's a ton of freedom. You can do whatever you want. I got many suggestions from people when I asked what is a good active hobby to take up, and they suggested dancing. And I do think dancing is king because there was a study done on depression, and it said that as far as treatments for depression, dancing was absolutely up there as far as ways to get out of your funk. Anyways, the deal is I think dancing is just overall great because you can do it with others. It can be a social activity. You can connect with people. But just movement is pretty good for you overall. I can certainly attest to that. And it's great that you can start small. It's amazing to me how much you can really make yourself feeling better by moving. And as somebody who spent way too long avoiding movement, I am realizing just how much of a mistake that was. And I find the benefits of exercise absolutely astronomical. Like, for instance, I was still feeling a little sick yesterday, Friday, when I was getting a good workout in. And afterwards, despite being sick and, you know, doing a couple of exercises here and there, by the time I got home, I felt amazing. I felt sleepy. I felt tired, but I felt wonderful. And it was really fascinating because it reminded me, I'm like, oh, so this is why I pushed myself to be active every single day for so long. It's like, when that's gone and then you get it back, you're like, damn. And so, I don't know, I guess I'm trying to become a bit of an endorphin junkie. And I think when it comes to the overall weight loss process, for me, I definitely want an active lifestyle to be part of my long-term weight maintenance strategy. Because one of the things that's discussed a lot in weight loss circles is, oh, if you do it the wrong way, you're just gonna regain all the weight back. And to me, that's fundamentally silly. I certainly think there are more and less damaging ways to get the weight off. I think there are ways you can do it that are counterproductive to you psychologically, physically, and in other ways. But I don't think how you lose the weight per se is the thing that affects whether you'll gain it back or not. I think that's a much more complicated can of worms. And that's why I get very frustrated with the public discussions about obesity and the public health side of it, is because there's a huge, huge push to basically say that, oh, you know, diet and exercise doesn't work, because people just regain it anyways. And to me, that is actually more of a sign that it's not that those interventions don't work, because clearly diet and exercise do reverse the problem. But when it comes to keeping it off, to me, that appears to be an entirely different challenge that I think has, again, deeper social roots in broader social, economic, political problems. And that's the thorny side of this. Man, I absolutely got on my soapbox today. I am doing well. Despite how it may sound, I am in pretty good spirits. I'm just frustrated with feeling sick, and I really want this to be gone. I want to be back to 100%. I want to be back to pushing as hard as I can. And so, yes, I will admit to being a little impatient. Ooh, Gabriel impatient. Nobody would have predicted that. With the sickness side of things. But I am so immensely grateful that I am at a point where, when I was sick, I ate a few things that, you know, I wouldn't have otherwise. If I was on top of my game, I would have made different decisions. And so things were a little lax for a while. And I'm just glad it hasn't permanently derailed me. I'm actually over the moon about the fact that I'm already back on the downtrend when it comes to this process. I had a ton of frozen yogurt today. I've been mixing my flavored protein powder with frozen Greek yogurt, and that's been a blast as far as a summertime treat. I've been basically going crazy on that. Like, I think that's half of what I've been eating over the last few months, which, I don't know, maybe somebody's like, well, that's why you're sick, Gabriel. I don't know, but it's like, I just love the taste. I love that it hits the macros perfectly. I love that it's, like, so filling. It just checks all the boxes for me right now. But don't worry, that's not the only thing I'm eating. Like, I'm still having berries, bananas. Unfortunately, it's been a while since I've had broccoli. I need to get on that. Also, I've been having a lot more eggs lately because I'm feeling a lot more comfortable cooking. You know, it's like there was a time when frying a couple of eggs and having fried egg sandwiches would be something that I would feel is a crazy amount of work. And now it's just like something I do to get fed. And I'm really noticing that as you repeat these processes, they kind of crystallize in your mind, and you know, it's more second nature. It's no longer this big arduous task, and your brain can focus on other things. And so I think our minds are actually quite phenomenal things once you're using them to make your life better. And I'm very happy about how that's all going. So thank you all. Thank you so much for listening. It is great to be back. It is good to be providing these updates. I really am looking forward to sharing more with you. I'm very happy about this and how it's all going. And so thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for being here and providing encouragement and support. I hope you're all having an excellent one.